and the seven spirits of God. Amen? Amen. How many spirits are there? There's one spirit. And this very one spirit is or has manifested himself in seven different ways. So before I could even go further, Brother Harry, can you put up that Ephesians 4:4 just to make sure that the newcomers and the folks that are coming for the first time understand what I'm talking about? Ephesians 4:4. I want you to read it with me, so we can get right on, we can start on the right foot. Let's read it. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. There is only one body, the body of Christ. If you pay attention, the word spirit here has a capital S. Is that correct?
Yes.
He's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. There isn't seven Holy Spirits. There is one Spirit. Notwithstanding, when you go to the book of Revelation, there is a mention on the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Verse 4, about something different. Revelation 1:4 tells us, we see here one spirit, but Revelation 1:4, and then after that we also have Revelation 4:5. It says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before the throne. Well, the word spirit here is also capitalized, capital S. So you say that's only one spirit. Why this one is showing as a capital S? For a very simple reason. You will understand it very, very soon. Pay attention to the end of the verse. The seven spirits who are before his throne. We're together yet, right? Then when you go back to Revelation chapter 4, 5, it gets a little bit more interesting. We still have Revelation 5, 6, but I want to go here first. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thundering, and voices. Now, where were the seven spirit? Before the throne. Is that right? Now he says here, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, if you pay attention, the previous verse spoke that there were seven spirits standing before the throne. Is that correct? Over here it says that this lightnings and voices and thunder proceed from the throne. And they are now manifested themselves as seven lamps of fire. What is fire good for? Purifying, burning, cleansing. Isn't that right? I've been told that goldsmith, if they want to make the gold get at its best, it has to be burned. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'm not a silversmith, so I'm trusting that you know what you're saying. Then when we go to Revelation 5, 6, we have another piece of the puzzle. Then I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. Horns, where's Jake? Jake, stand up, blow that shofar for me. Man, you're sleeping. You have the shofar all the way on the other side. Blow the shofar for me, please. This is what he's saying. There are seven of these that Jake just blown. And then it says, it has seven eyes. Blow it again, son. Does it get your attention when you hear that noise?
Yes.
It's a different noise, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's a peculiar noise. It doesn't sound like a trumpet, like a clarinet, like a saxophone. It has a distinctive piercing sound. Is that correct?
Yes.
The last time, son, and then you may be seated. Thank you.
Amen.
The beauty about this is when you're blowing the horn, you don't have the little buttons to change tones. The one playing the horns is the one who determined the sound of the shofar through the intensity with which it is blown. Y'all see with me yet, right? It has seven lamps, seven horns, and seven eyes, rather. What is the eye good for?
See.
To see. Is that correct? And then he goes on to say, these lamps and eyes are the seven Spirit of God sent out into all the earth. Then somebody may say, there's a paradox here. No, there isn't. First you said that there were seven spirits standing before the throne. It's true. And then you say there were seven spirits proceeding from the throne. It is also true. Now this spirit now is no longer before the throne. They are sent out throughout the earth. Huh? Yeah. The seven spirits of God are seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit of God coming, proceeding out of God's throne throughout all the earth to touch the church, to be up to the speed of their Savior, their husband, their creator, their lover. Are we still together so far? So, I gave you the five of the manifestations already. I told you the first spirit, the first outreach of the spirit, the first manifestation, whatever you want to call it, of the seven spirits is the spirit of grace. Like the Father and Son that does all through grace, by grace, the spirit is also in conformity with the Father and the Son and work in us freely. He works with us even when we don't deserve that He works in us. That is called grace. So He's the Spirit of grace. Then I told you that there was the Spirit of adoption. It's that manifestation of the Spirit that will take a Gentile or a lousy Jew, bring them to Christ, and then after that is done, He inserts him in the family of God with all legal rights that Jesus has. This is why we are called co-heirs with Christ. The spirit of adoption picks us up, shake it up, wash in the blood and the water, soak it up, shake it up into the family of God. So where Jesus is, we are. And that's why we are told that we sit in highly places with Him. The Spirit places us in the family of God and let us have all the legal rights that Jesus has. Are we together? Then we have the Spirit of life, which is that manifestation of the Spirit that works on the life of the believers, placing in them the life of God. And this is why Jesus said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old stuff passed away. Behold, everything became new. That's the spirit of life. Then we have the spirit of supplication. Sometimes, especially couples, when they get married, mad at each other, Lord, I want you to kill this husband of mine. Spirit said, that's not what she meant. She meant that she wants you to give him double life of what he has right now. I don't believe on that. That's your business. When you got married, you're no longer two. So if you think that God's going to side by your side and going to kill your husband just because he didn't buy your Corvette, you're crazy. God don't see two people anymore. He sees one people. Well, he make me mad. Well, then, if you got mad, get glad now. You know, but work things out. The Lord said, you can't get mad, but don't let the sun go down on your madness. Because when you do, you're giving place to the devil. So work your differences out, because marriage is a life business. I was about to say a life sentence, but I don't want to be stoned. So get things worked out. My spouse is not a believer. Stop nagging the man trying to preach to him. You ain't the Holy Spirit. Just go along. He don't want to live with me anymore. Let him go then. This is what the scripture says. The spirit of supplication will take your prayers. When you and I do not know how to pray, he will take those prayers, turn it around, and make it so sweet that God can't help himself but answer your prayers. That's the spirit of supplication. Today, I want to talk to you about the spirit of holiness. And I know some people already think, oh boy, here we go. He's going to start pointing finger at my faults. I'm not pointing finger at nobody's fault. I don't think you guys have any fault. That's the church down the street. I'm looking at holy people here. Today, we're going to talk about the other branch, the other manifestation of the Spirit of God among the seven spirits of God, that is the spirit of holiness. Let's start by reading Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Read it with me. And declare to be the Son of God with the power according to by the resurrection from the dead. We see here a mention of the spirit of holiness. Now I want to call your attention for a word in this scripture here. It's not spirit, it's not holiness. I want to call your attention to the word power. The spirit of holiness is a power that works on the life of believers. Did you know that mankind will die one day because we still have the stinking seed of sin in our bodies? Can I hear an amen here?
Amen.
Because our dad in the flesh, Mr. Adam, empty head, decided to listen to his wife. Again, you have to give the guy credit, because once he saw that gorgeous thing before his eyes, poor guy, didn't have a chance. Decided to listen to his wife, and he sinned against God. And as a result, all of us that came after him have that seed of sin within us. Are we together, right? Because of that, all of us will die one day. The only one who didn't have Adam's DNA 100% was Jesus. He had 100% God's DNA and 10% Mary's DNA. He needed a vehicle through which he could be manifested into the world. But when he died, because he had the seed of holiness, he says here, declared to be the Son of God with the power according to the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. What are you talking about? Death could not hold Jesus on the grave because the power of holiness in him was bigger than the power of sin. Therefore, he could override death, he could overpower death and come back from the death, the dead, because there was nobody to hold him back. Amen. And that power that brought him back from the dead is the Spirit of holiness. That very same Spirit of holiness works in you and I. In addition to the Holy Spirit having his distinctive name, the Holy Spirit of God, it is recorded in the scripture right in here that he is also the Spirit of holiness. So what does the Spirit of holiness does in the life of the believer? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 4, verse 4. Read it with me. When the Lord has washed away the filthy of the daughters of Zion, and how did he do that? By the Spirit of judgment and by the Spirit of burning. We read in the first three scriptures in Revelation that the Spirit of God stood before the throne. Is that right? And they were standing before the throne as burning lights. Is that correct? The Spirit of God will wash away, he will wash away, he will purge all the sin in the midst of the church by the Spirit of judgment and by the Spirit of burning. You may say, preacher, I am a little lost here now on this thing. You're not making sense to me. All right, let's get straight to it. We were washed away. We were washed, rather, on the blood of Jesus. And we were purged away through the blood of Jesus, through the Spirit of holiness. God is the enemy of sin, whatever he finds it. So when it is found in the heart of the believer, he attacks sin immediately. The Spirit of holiness, as the Spirit of judgment, uncovers and condemns all that is wrong. And once that takes place, the Spirit of burning that stands before the altar of God purges us out of all sins in the middle of the church. Why would he do that? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 tells us the following words. Would you care to read it with me? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The Spirit of holiness will search within us those things that are unclean. Those things that will prevent God from doing what he wants to do. Those things that prevents us from getting close to God. He will search for it. And is it sinful? Yes. He will wash it on the blood of Jesus. He will purify our way of thinking from dead works, so that we can serve the living God. When you go to Leviticus 20, verse 7 and 8, some will say, well, this is not for us. That's the Old Testament. Okay. So why do you mention the Ten Commandments? If somebody steals from you, oh, you should not steal, brother. Bible says you should not steal. Well, you shouldn't bother with this. It's the Old Testament. Pastor, this man is coveting my wife. Why are you bothered? The Bible says thou shalt not covet. That's the Old Testament. But, you know, we are kind of selective. Here in the Old Testament we hear, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be
holy.
The spirit of holiness is the one who will help you to be a holy person. You know, you can try to be whole on your own, and it will become fanaticism. Are we together so far?
Yes.
Holiness that is produced by men becomes fanaticism. But the spirit of holiness will help us as we take a step towards consecrating ourselves to be holy. And he says, for I am the Lord your God. So if you are my child, and I am holy, and I am your God, guess what? I'm expecting you to be holy. Huh? Yeah. I am your God, right? Right. I am holy, right? Right. You're my child, right? Then I'm expecting you to be holy. And he goes on to say, and you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So what you're saying? God has given you a tool, a weapon, to become holy without having to kill yourself. God is holy. We know that. We are children of God. He expects his children to be holy. And the way that we achieve this is by obeying God's word. And the Spirit of God will take the word that we are reading, apply in our lives, and makes us holy. I like the way that the New Living Translation put it. Brother, give me the NLT here, please. I love it. Watch this. So set yourselves apart to be holy. You got to make that move. He says, I am the Lord your God. Keep all my decrees by putting them into practice. Why? For I am the Lord who makes you holy. Holiness doesn't come out of human efforts. Holiness coming through practicing the word of God. When we practice the word of God, the spirit of holiness then makes us holy. The backslider translation is crazy but worth reading. Watch this. Set yourselves apart for a lousy life. Is that what it says? You've got to make a move. I want to be holy. I want to be holy. Set yourselves apart to be holy. Live a holy life. Because I am God. You're God. Therefore, I'm expecting you to be holy. Do what I tell you. Live the way I tell you. I am the God who makes you holy. How does he do that? By the spirit of holiness. The spirit of judgment and burning. It will uncover the filthy in our souls, in our spirit, in our bodies. He will uncover and he washed it on the blood and the water. He will purge it and makes us as holy as our dead is. Then when you go a little bit further, Ephesians chapter 5 has an interesting sentence to you. Ephesians 5:27. That he might present her who the church, to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkles or any such thing. But that she should be and without blemish. I promise you I'm going to preach a sermon on this. This verse here is enough to preach for 1 hour. How many of you knows the difference between spot and wrinkles? All right. Let's leave it for another day. Don't tempt me now because then I'm going to get carried away. I'm going to preach one sermon on spot and wrinkle. One is inside and the other is outside. Spot is something outside that you can pick up. Wrinkle is a result of inner degeneration. We're going to leave it for another day. God wants, or Jesus wants, to present himself a glorious church. Without spot, without wrinkle, no makeup. Holy and without blemish. How does he accomplish that? Through the Spirit of holiness. And you know what? It gets a little bit better. Let's go quickly to 2 Peter 3:14. Watch this. Read it with me. Therefore, beloved, looking to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. It takes diligence. We don't make ourselves holy, but we make up our minds that we're going to live a holy life. Amen? God is looking for the spotless people and blameless people. I do know a family that is having trouble with their children right now. Calling for counseling. I ask, are you a member for our congregation? No. Do you attend our congregation in any way, shape? No. Okay, we're getting somewhere now. Do you go to church? Yes. I go to First Yapti 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 Church. All right. Have you spoken to your pastor about this problem? I don't have the courage. Oh, you don't have the courage. And why is that? I don't want to look bad. Ah. So you want to dump the sewage at BCFC and want me to clean up the mess so you can look good in front of your preacher. Amen. Are you going to pray for us or what? Shouldn't you have a nice attitude too? I told this lady, before I pray for you or your family, I want you to shut down the cable in your children's room. Oh, that's going to be war. Then I can't pray for you. Excuse me? I cannot pray for you. Why? Because there's something filthy get into their room through that stupid piece of equipment you have called television. And this is why they are in the way that they are right now. And you want me to clean up the mess and they'll be filtering more and more of that junk. Guess what? Jesus said that when that spirit goes away, doesn't find a house to stay, he will come back and bring seven worse spirit with him. Then your children will become sex addict. My God. So that's right. Turn off the cable in their rooms. And maybe even your whole house. Then call back and I will pray for all of them and they will be delivered. The Lord is looking for a bride, for a church, huh? Without a spot and blameless. So we've got to do something about this thing. The preacher is praying for your family, and then you hooking up HBO, whatever the thing is called, all those crazy channels showing people naked and people killing each other. The prayer becomes effortless. Shall we go a little bit quicker? Let's go real quick to 1 Timothy 6:14. Read it with me. That you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. How can I be blameless until the coming of Christ? The Spirit of holiness will help you to live a holy life. When you go a little bit further in 1 Peter 1:9, you again have another hint. Receiving the end of your faith. The salvation of your souls. Doesn't sound right. Can you give me 2 Peter 1:9, brother? I may have messed up. But that's good. It's receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Can you give me 2 Peter 1:9? But it's still good. It's not this, but still good. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. That will only take place when the Spirit of holiness is not working in our lives. Ephesians 5:26 tells us one more thing. That he might sanctify and cleanse her, the church, with washing. The washing of water
by the word.
All this process is applied into our lives by the Spirit of holiness. Then when you go to Titus 3:5, we find this. Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. So salvation came all through him. Is that right? And that salvation took place through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So, preacher, you got me a little confused. What are we talking about here? As a child of God that has been washed by the Word and in the blood of Jesus, God is expecting you and I to live a holy life. The Spirit of holiness, as the Spirit of judgment, uncovers and condemns all that is wrong in our lives. As the Spirit of burning, he purges all the sins out of our life. And I know that this is a work which is not very pleasant to the believers, but it's very important and vital to the program of God in our lives. The bride of the Lamb must be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any type of blemish in itself. She must be holy and without blemish. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is busy sanctifying and cleansing her Jesus' church with the washing of the Word, of the water by the Word. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means to allow the Holy Spirit to search out, find out the junk, destroy it, and then fill in the vacuum that is going to be left. Brothers and sisters, holiness is also a spirit. The phrase, the spirit of holiness, reveals to you and I that holiness is not merely a state of grace or a sanctifying act. The Spirit of holiness is a divine person who is the Spirit of holiness from God, that emanates quality of holiness in our lives. As a tree is sustained by the life within and will lose its freshness and shortly its very life unless life flows in its trunk out to its leaves. In the same way, holiness will be an empty, rattling exterior and mere profession unless it is energized and vitalized constantly by him who is the Spirit of holiness. Christ has been made unto us sanctification. In Luke 1:35, Gabriel, when he shows up to Mary, he made the following statement. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Notice the steps followed here. It says that the Holy Spirit will come upon Mary. And she's going to be overshadowed by the power of the Most High. And then because of that overshadowing coming upon her, the one within her would be called the Holy One. The Spirit of God in the same way, the Spirit of holiness, is a person that wants to overshadow, overpower, our lives, to give us a true holiness. The Spirit of holiness is the one who will empower you and I to live lives set apart. Is the one that will live within us and give us the ultimate power to overcome sin. He is the one who will be nagging us. You are wrong. Give up. It is this task to uncover all the filthiness, all the dead works in our lives. Condemn, wash, purify, purge, and burn it so that you and I, can live holy lives before a holy God of whom we are called children of. May God give us the boldness and the courage to embrace a holy lifestyle through the power of the Spirit of Holiness. God bless you.